Does everybody recognize this object? Do you know what this is? It's a big rock. This, of course, is the famous Rock of Gibraltar. You know, Prudential Life Insurance has used the picture of the rock for many years to sell their insurance. I'm not an agent for Prudential this morning, but if we've seen the picture of the rock, that's probably where we saw it. Through Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom, perhaps. It was a famous program that Prudential ran many, many years. And the first thing they showed was the rock. You know, the rock has a history that goes back to 1000 B.C. We have written record of the fact that it was once inhabited by the Phoenicians around 1000 B.C., This picture here is one of the first drawings of the Rock of Gibraltar. It was painted in either the late 1700s or the early 1800s by Scottish painter David Roberts. This next picture here is a picture of the rock at overlooking the airport at Gibraltar. And this is the most modern picture that I could find of it. Now, let me put these pictures side by side. Do you notice anything unusual about these two pictures? Well, one of them is, of course, a sketch, and the other one is actually a photograph. But if you'll notice, they really look the same. The Rock of Gibraltar has not changed. It is the same here in this modern-day picture as it was in the 1700s when it was sketched. It probably looked like this at 1000 B.C. when the Phoenicians came there. It is suggested by Bible scholars that Isaiah was making a parallel reference to the Rock of Gibraltar in Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3 and 4, where it says, "Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord God is an everlasting rock." Many people think that he was making a reference to the Rock of Gibraltar as something that would last that long, of course, and we know that the rock would not last as long as God, of course. So the rock has not changed. However, other things in life change. We have a lot of changes in life. Think about how much your life has changed over the years. The differences in you, the differences in your family, the differences in the things around you perhaps, and all of the changes that have taken place. Now, to prove my point, I'm going to show you something that's probably going to get me in the doghouse. Anybody recognize those two young characters? That picture was taken in 1986. I was 28 years old, and Pat, I don't know how old she was. I guess she was 24. That was 32 years ago. Now, look at this. See how much Pat has changed? Well, I guess I have to admit I've changed a little too. Believe it or not, my hair used to be that darker brown. And I used to have that much of it. And believe it or not, I used to be that little. You see, we change over the years, don't we? What about technology? This is a picture of my very first typewriter. I was 14 years old when I got it, sophomore in high school, learning typing in high school. This is a Royal Aristocrat manual typewriter. I typed my very first sermon on this typewriter. There's a picture of the first page. It took me 2 hours to find it in my files so I could take its picture to share it with you. It was one of the very first sermons I preached in my life. One of the very first sermons I preached here at Dawson Road when we came here back in 2002. It was called The Last Goodbye. Do y'all remember that sermon? Nobody remembers it? I may preach it again. Look at this, Steve. Where's Steve? He's upstairs. My very first computer system, the Commodore 64. Y'all remember the Commodore 64? Boy, I had everything you could put on a Commodore 64. And there are still things about it that I like better than what I use today. But it was top line back in its day. Cars have changed over the years. We have gone, this is one of the very first cars that ever moved to what we have now. And we have ships that have changed from the little small tiny sailing ship to now what is known as the largest luxury liner afloat. Telephones have changed. Some of you young people who love that cell phone, imagine having to hug a pole with the phones strapped to the pole with an extension cord and the handle on the other end, and you're doing like this. That's how we used to do it. Well, I didn't. Yeah, I did do it that way too. And that's how we have changed. The point is, things change, don't they? And we change in life. Now, Jeremiah asked a question in Jeremiah 13, verse 23. He says, can the Ethiopian change his skin, or the leopard his spots? Then may ye also do good that are accustomed to do evil. Simple question. Can a black man in his own will change his color, or any other race for that matter? Of course not. Can the leopard change from stripes or from spots to stripes and look like a zebra? Of course not. These things are natural to them, and they cannot be changed. From a spiritual standpoint, sin is the same way. Sin is a natural thing for us. And unfortunately, it can become second nature. Now, when Jeremiah asked this question in Jeremiah 13, he was talking about those people who are accustomed to evil in their lives. And I don't think he is saying that it is impossible for them to change. But I think what he was saying is that it is extremely difficult for them to change. It is really not to be expected. And I guess we all know people that way. We know people who live outside of Christ, who live an evil life, and they like the evil life that they live, and chances are they'll never change it. We all know people that way. But this morning, I want to talk about some things that do not, will not, cannot change. The first one is sin. It is and always has been offensive to God. In Genesis chapter 6, verse 5 through 7, it says that God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart were only evil continually. And as a result of his thinking, God destroyed the world with water because of their sin. We find today that sin is still offensive to God. Sin has an effect on our morals. It turned Cain into a murderer. In fact, we read in 1 John chapter 3, verse 12, that we should not be like Cain, who was of the evil one and murdered his brother. Why did he murder him? Because his own deeds were evil and his brother's righteous. Sin turned Judas into a traitor. And we all know that story from Luke chapter 6, how he betrayed Christ for 30 pieces of silver. It turned Ananias and Sapphira, who were, by the way, Christians, into liars. Acts chapter 5. And as a result of this, they were struck dead at the feet of the Apostle Peter. We also know that the final result of sin has never changed. Paul tells us in Romans 6 and verse 23, for the wages of sin is death. That is the ultimate result of sin for everyone who has breathed the breath of life. So sin does not change. Only we can change as to how we deal with it. Human nature does not change. From Adam and Eve on down to this present time, the natural thing for man to do is sin. The natural thing for man to do is to choose the wrong thing. John tells us in 1 John chapter 2, beginning with verse 15, do not love the world, neither the things that are in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, the pride of possessions, or the pride of life, as King James says it, is not from the Father, but is from the world. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. But it is human nature for us to love the sin of the flesh. It is human nature for us to love the sins of the eyes. It is human nature for us to love the pride of life. There is a weak side to humanity when it comes to spiritual things. Jesus understood this weakness. And that's why he said in Matthew 26 and verse 41, watch and pray that you do not enter into temptation. For the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And then Paul said in Romans 7 and verse 19, for I do not do the good that I want to do, but the evil that I do not want to do. So it's a constant battle between mankind that we fight within ourselves of doing the right thing because it becomes natural for us to do the wrong thing. Now, we never lose our desire to live eternally. And we all have that also in the back of our mind that we want to go to heaven. That's why we're all here this morning. We all want to go to heaven. Job had that desire. Job 14, verse 14. If a man die, shall he live again? Job is saying, hey, I want to live again. The rich young ruler came to Jesus and said, what can I do that I may inherit eternal life? He already had everything physically that a man could have. There was nothing else to gain physically, but it wasn't giving him eternal life. What is it, Lord, that I can do to have it? And when Jesus told him to give up his worldliness and to follow him, we know that the rich ruler walked away. But my friends, there is no inner peace in the life of anyone until he comes to Jesus in obedience to his word. Paul says in Romans 5 and verse 1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. But it's a battle. It's a battle every day of our lives because the natural thing to do is the wrong thing. Another thing that doesn't change is life. There are several things about life that doesn't change. First of all, it is brief. About 2 weeks ago, I celebrated my 60th birthday. I couldn't believe that. I think this one's been harder than any. Because now I can look back so far, and I look ahead and I don't see 60 years ahead of me. Man born of woman is a few days, full of trouble. Our lives are brief. We don't think about things like this, but today when you lifted your head from your pillow, you have one less day to live. No one thought about that this morning, did they? But that's the way it is. Life is brief. The oldest man in the world, I think now, is like 106. 106 years. 106 years ago, we were mostly in horses and buggies. Now we're in cars. Now we fly. Now we go to the moon. Now we're going to Mars. 100 years isn't long at all. Not only is life brief, life is uncertain. James tells us this, James 4, beginning with verse 13. Come now, you who say today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a city. Spend a year there, buy and sell and make profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. Most deaths come unexpected because life is uncertain. And of course, we know that there are exceptions to this rule. But for the most part, death comes at a time when we are not looking for it. So it is uncertain, and it is brief. But there is one thing: life is real. You know, many act as if though life was a dream. They act like maybe the rich farmer. Take mine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. That's a superficial feeling. Because you see, life is real. Things do change. Paul brings us back to this reality in Galatians chapter 6. He says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. For he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. And he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. So it comes down to how you sow. Because you can't sow corn and reap potatoes. And you can't sow wickedness and reap righteousness. But you know, when we live life correctly, life is worthwhile. You know, Jesus talks about the value of life. He talks about the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? Or why worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Look at the front picture on your bulletin. You have a picture of a beautiful flower. And he is comparing King Solomon to that flower. And Solomon comes up short. Because God's beauty outweighs the beauty of the king. And on top of that, the Lord has promised to take care of that which we worry about. So why bother doing it? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things, and he couldn't have added all these things that you worry about, will be added to you. The question is, are we seeking God first? Then, death does not change. Hebrew writer says it, Hebrews 9:27. It is appointed unto men once to die, and then the judgment. Happens every day. Happens thousands of times every day. You know, for those that are living in sin, death is an enemy. It is unwelcomed. It is dark because there is judgment that follows. But for the Christian, there should be no fear of death. You know, I love the way Brother Cullins put this last week in the gospel meeting. He paralleled judgment with the death angel as it traveled over Egypt on the night of the death angel. Judgment came upon those who did not have the blood sprinkled upon their doors. The Israelites who had blood on their doors was passed over, and they did not receive the judgment of God. They passed over. Well, that's us. We will be passed over judgment because we have the blood of Christ. We will not stand in judgment like the wicked stand in judgment because we have the blood of Christ. We can feel about the judgment day the way Paul did in 2 Timothy chapter 4. I am now ready to be offered, he said. The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness which the judge shall give me in that day, and not to me only, but to all of those who love his appearing. I'm going to get to skip the harsh judgment of sin from God because I have the blood. Fear is for those who have not seen the blood. And they will be as filled with fear because they must face the one who can kill both body and soul in hell. Then finally, Christ does not change. It was read this morning in our reading, Hebrews 13, verse 8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The love of Christ does not change. His love was shown in His death upon the cross. We read so many times how His love was shown while He was here upon the earth. The Hebrew writer in Hebrews 5 and verse 7, in the days of His flesh, when He had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto Him that was able to save Him from death. The power of God has not changed. His power to atone for sins is still great. Paul, Romans 5, verse 10 and 11, by Christ we have received the atonement. We have been redeemed. We've been washed. His power to keep us away from sin or to be our helper in times of trouble, it has not changed. Paul tells us in Philippians 4, 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. His power to raise the dead at the second coming has not changed. Jesus said in John 5, 28, do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear His voice and come forth, those who have done good to the resurrection of life and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. This is the way it is. This is the way it's going to be. It does not change. And imagining something else will not change it. Jesus Christ does not change. And even though we are living in a changing world, there are still some things that do not change. Sin does not change. Human nature does not change. Life, death, and Jesus Christ. We can rest with a surety, or know with a surety, that these things do not change. Can the Ethiopian change the color of his skin? Can a leopard change his spots? Of course not. It's a natural thing. Jesus has not changed. He is the same yesterday, today, forever. His desire is for you. His love is still there for you. And He still wants you to be saved. But if you are outside of Christ, I gladly tell you this morning, my friends, you can change. You can put sin out of your life. You can bring Christ into your life. Or you can bring Him back into your life. If you have never obeyed the gospel, you can look to Him today in faith. You can repent of the sins that are in your life. You can confess Him before men. And you can be buried with Him in baptism for the remission of your sins. And if you have left Christ as a Christian, you can come back to Him. You can confess your faults and pray for your forgiveness. And God has promised to forgive. The blood of Christ will cover you once again. And all can be well with you. Just remember, the blood of Christ is always there. It's not going anywhere. It does not change. But you, my friend, must change. Today, if you need to change, please do it now while we stand and sing.